The Deucecast is sponsored in part by Audible.com. Audible.com is your source for over 85,000 books on digital download for listening in your car, while in the office, or being around the house. Sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/deuce. That's D-E-U-C-E. We thank you for your support, and now, on with the Deucecast.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire
the Deucecast! That's right, baby. The show is on the air. We were
you
ready
had to know
to
that was coming.
Oh, you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming.
I saw that a mile away.
Absolutely. But you still loved it just the same. Welcome to the Deucecast, episode number 46, to Podcast a Mockingbird. That's right. We're here. I'm your host, Dave, and we've got a great show lined up for you. Some political talk, some book talk, some music talk, some movie talk. We've got some great people in the chat there, so maybe we'll be talking to them a little bit here and there. Over here to my left, my howling mad co-host, there's Mikey. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, how's it going?
I can vouch for that. He is howling mad.
Yes.
Mr. T over there doing the producing. Wave, Tommy. Tommy waves. And across the way here, he's our own face man. There's Drew.
Oh.
It's good to be here, Dave.
Yeah, welcome back.
Face man.
Let's kick this show off right. And over the weeks, we've tried many beverages that have just been pretty disgusting, pretty nasty. So I decided to give us all a break a little bit and pop something fresh.
Something.
It's not cheer wine, so it's my second favorite beverage of all time.
Oh, I'm excited.
Dr. Brown's soda.
Oh, nice. Hey,
we got some real stuff here.
That's right.
Oh, so we've got different flavors. Okay.
I'm taking a root beer. There are two black cherries, and there are two root beers.
Beautiful. I'll take black cherry, yeah. All
right. Tommy, would you care for a black cherry?
No, I'm good. Black
cherry. They're a fan freaking test.
Fan dab tabulous. Right.
So
right on.
Sweet. Yeah, dig
okay,
in, please.
Let's go.
In.
Let's do this. Dr. Brown's is good
I
stuff.
I love me some Dr. Brown's.
I appreciate you bringing this, Dave.
Dude, well done.
Yes. Oh, that's good. It's very good, very crisp.
That is great stuff. Black
cherry. For any first-time listeners, we don't usually have drinks of this quality
yeah,
at all.
We don't have good
say,
drinks ever.
Here's my Dr. Brown story. I discovered Dr. Brown's in college. There was actually a deli called Zicky's Deli in Troy. Not too far from my house, and so we'd go there a couple times a week for lunch, and it was two guys from New York City. One guy was named Joey. His actual name was Joey something Italian.
Hey, Joey.
And his dad or his brother or somebody, I don't know, probably Vinny or Giovanni or whatever. But anyway, they had these New York style subs, and they were so good. The bread was so perfect, and the meat was shipped in. It was just, I mean, it was a hugely popular place, and they served Dr. Brown soda.
Yeah.
That was about the only soda they served. So I tried. I love black cherry. I love the cream soda. The draft style root beer is great. So you, for like $5, you get a big Italian roast beef sub, big thick ciabatta bread,
I feel
and Dr.
That.
Brown soda.
I feel that.
Well, I go there one day. Ziggy's is closed. Just shut down, completely closed.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, these two guys were running a cocaine ring out of their out of the back of their store.
A cocaine ring?
A cocaine and drug ring. Like they were drug smuggling through the back
nice.
Of the store.
Wow.
Which explains the powder on the bread. I don't know.
So,
know,
your favorite restaurant of all time was a front for a drug.
Well,
ring.
That's not my favorite restaurant of all time, but it was very good. It was really, really good.
So, Dr. Brown's, it says since 1869 on the can. So, I always wonder with these sodas that claim that if it's legitimate or if it's just marketing.
It actually is legitimate. It actually started out as a Celray soda, and they still do Celray flavor, which is celery flavored soda. That's,
really?
One of, that's one of the six flavors Dr. Brown's has.
You know who would probably like that? Rhett.
Rhett. Hurricane
yeah,
Rhett
he likes
definitely.
The cucumber, so he probably likes the celery also.
They've got Dr. Brown's black cherry, a root beer, ginger ale, cream soda, and Celray, and I think there's something else.
Why are you saying Celray when it's
that's
celery?
That's what it's called, Celray. C-E-L-R-E-Y.
Okay. Well, I got you. I got you.
Yes.
Awesome.
Not to be confused.
So let's talk about our week. Drew, kick it off, man. What's happening with you this week?
Man, it's been good. Doing the work thing, obviously. I was trying to remember. I know we do our reflections later, but I did see some movies. I guess I'll be trying to remember what they were during the cast. Just having a good week.
Culminating, of course, with your appearance on the Deucecast.
It doesn't get any better.
I've been preparing is actually what I've been doing. I've been
mentally
been
and
hard,
physically yes, preparing for the Deucecast.
Training program.
Because you really have to make sure
I get up at 5
right
every morning.
You have to also make sure that your bowels are in check. because you just never know if it's going to be like an hour long show or a 4 hour show. Is that because
the chemicals won't allow you to get to
exactly,
their facilities?
Yeah. Just to give everybody some insight, we're doing some renovation in the Deucecast studios, and there is mold killing chemicals down here right now. So
that I walked
by the
earlier.
End of the show, we all may just be slurring
our
speech.
And my
heavily.
Guess is that because there are mold killing chemicals, that means there's mold to kill.
Well, yeah, you know, there was a, there
which
was
is
a,
also good.
There
for
was
us.
A little plumbing issue in the Deucecast studios, and so
the chemicals are setting in. I can feel it.
Yeah, the mold was back there. The chemicals are killing the mold, though, Dave.
By the time the show is over, people will be talking about this show, going, "You know, the last half of the show was fantastic. They were just they were on it, man. They were on it.
We're just constantly. I mean, I don't know. I'm already feeling a little loopy because I've been down here much longer than all three of you in here.
It's getting warm.
It is getting a little bit warm. So as far as my week, I had. What can only be called an amazing week. I'll go back to last Thursday, the day after last week's Deucecast was recorded. I won some tickets to Jack White of the White Stripes, for those not in the know. And I don't know what the deal is, but I just have this propensity to win tickets. I was looking in my ticket book. Yes, I keep a ticket book. Last year alone, I won three tickets to different shows, like My Morning Jacket, the Avett Brothers, and one other really big one that I can't remember off the top.
Jonas Brothers.
I think the Wilco, maybe. I don't know. I can't remember. There's so many concerts, so little time, really. But yeah, so I won the Jack White
motto of my life.
And this past Monday was the Jack White show. Phenomenal. He's got a solo album, so he's preparing to go on tour for this solo album. However, I would venture to say that probably 80% of the show was White Stripes songs with a full band, like drummer, bass player, upright bass, regular bass. He had a guy on the stand-up guitar. What do you call that? The slide, I guess?
Slide guitar,
but he was standing up playing this thing. I don't know what it's called. I'm not a musician.
A steel guitar?
Yeah, I think it was the steel guitar. He wasn't sitting down, though. He was standing up. And then we had some other stuff. We had a drummer, of course, and then a guy just doing crazy instruments and some rhythm guitar. But anyways, all that to say that the White Stripes songs were so much more full.
I was going to say.
Because of the band.
It's you've never heard them before.
Meg White, not the best drummer in the world. So, yeah, it was basically a phenomenal show. I wish I could have brought everybody with me. But I chose to bring my brother-in-law, Trey, because I know he's a huge White Stripes fan. And I know he had the time of his life. He's a younger lad, so he went straight to the front and did that thing. I'm an old man, so I stood in the back. And it was just, I don't know, it was just cool. I like to give people a good experience and bring different people to different shows and stuff when I win these tickets. And so,
about what age in your concert going experience did you discover? I'm too old to go on to the front again. I'm gonna hang back here and enjoy the music.
Oh gosh, I would venture to say probably 28. I mean, that's not to say.
Is there like a show that you went to that distinctly was your turning point? I went to the stage. Right now, I'm just
and it may have been even younger than 28. I can't recall when this was, but
Jim Brickman.
It was the Radiohead show at Stone Mountain in the field. It just took a lot out of me, and so my knees really just can't handle the standing thing that well anymore, and so I was in the very back, just leaning up against a wall because this was a standing room only venue, and this show was phenomenal. He did some Rockin' Tour songs, he did some Dead Weather songs.
It sounds
songs.
Like you may be locking your knees. I think maybe
perhaps.
Need to dance more.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but.
Well, you and I haven't gone to many concerts together, but one I distinctly remember is when you and I and Sean, the world-famous Sean Sharp, went to a Newsboys concert in the tent in Huntsville, and it was this huge tent. It was like a circus.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Festival Con Dios?
Yeah, something like that. Festival Con Dios.
We were all, like the stage was chest high, and so we were just kind of propped up on the stage, you know, just kind of.
Right.
It was, and the drummer turned upside down.
And I go to a Hootie concert together?
We went to a Hootie, the Hotter Than Heck Hoedown, 107.7 The X.
Yeah,
we saw Hootie, and we saw.
I can't remember. Filter, maybe? I don't know.
The band that sang Hooch. I can never remember that band's name.
Hoobastank?
No, not Hoobastank.
I thought it was Hoobastank.
It's not Hoobastank.
You got the hooch.
Yeah, I know, but I
baby.
Somebody help me in the chat. Who sings Hooch?
Matt would know.
Little Mommy, you'd know this.
If Matt was in the chat, he would know.
Anyway,
but Brad would probably.
But there was another
Hoobastank.
It was not
Is that,
Drubastank.
Does Drubastank, does he drink Drewers?
There's a whole brand, really.
There is a whole brand. So There's anyways, a, Dave, how was your week? My week was, I mean, you can't type a White Stripes show, or not White Stripes, Jack White, but anyways, Dave, how
Whatever,
was
I'm trying to find who sings Hooch song.
You're not going to be able to find it
quick
enough.
It's driving me nuts.
That's
I'm
not
looking.
The name of the band.
I'm looking. No.
It's driving me nuts is not the name of the band.
Turner and Hooch.
No.
Tommy, do you have it?
This is not good pod. This is
oh,
not.
Oh, the name of the band is Everything. I think that's you're
is
right.
Is that really the
think,
name of the band?
That's the name of the band.
That is the most unoriginal name of
a
band.
It's a terrible band.
No wonder you didn't remember it.
That's almost as bad as Superstar Destroyers.
No, I like that though. I like Superstar Destroyers.
I liked it.
yeah, I thought
that's
that was
a good name. That's a good. Although I
didn't go over well with the rest.
Or
of the
Save
band.
Ferris. Save Ferris is an awesome name.
If I ever decide to put a rock band together, my band name will be Debauchery. That's my band name.
That's better than Everything.
Mouse Rat.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Mouse Rat.
I mean, I had an average week. I worked a lot. Pretty much. That's it. I mean, I got nothing. I got nothing to add to this conversation.
That's good.
My week,
hey,
so.
Some weeks
like
are
me
like
every
that.
Week, Dave.
I
welcome
mean,
to the yeah.
I got a 3 month old.
Little teaser for next week because I'm sure we'll be discussing this. Drew and myself are going to see the Avett Brothers, so that's a teaser for next week. Drew, maybe you want to come back into the studio and sit on the annex couch so we can discuss the Avett show.
Yeah, I might have to. We might have to run
see
through
if you
that.
Can work, see if you can work that out. But,
when I'm going to a concert on the night of the first weekend of March Madness, you know it's a band
that
I've been wanting to see
that.
For a while.
Yeah, that is. I mean, the Avett. I guarantee you will enjoy yourself. I've seen them 3 times. They put on a good show.
For the first time in probably what is 20 or 25 years, I did not fill out a bracket this year. I have not even looked at the bracket. I haven't touched it. I don't even know who's this number one seed.
You're not going to win the $5 million on Yahoo.
Probably not.
Just saying.
I don't know who's playing. I don't know anything about it. So.
All right. Well, we're talking about music. We're going to move into the Music Minute and. I played it sort of safe this time, I'll be honest. I went with a well-established band.
Hootie!
Most everybody
I
has
love
heard
Hootie.
Of. It's Snow Patrol. Most everybody's heard of Snow Patrol. They have been around since 98. I didn't realize they have been around that long, but this is actually their 6th studio album, and name of said album would be Fallen Empires.
Was it the one that did Chasing Angels, Chasing Cars, Chasing...
Sure, Dave.
Snow Patrol. I'm not making that up. I mean,
no.
they
did something like that, I think, but I can't recall.
You're thinking of Dishwalla.
Anyways, we're
no, that's Counting Blue Cars.
Oh.
Dishwalla is a good. Well, I got that band.
So we're doing their most recent album called Fallen Empires.
Dave has ADHD tonight. I'm not
called
sure
out
what's
in
going
the dark.
On. Every time we mention anything,
Called Out in the Dark is the first song I want us to listen to. This is really. This,
we have a request for Factor 7.
I know. I don't think like I've got it, but I don't have it on my podcast. Or my phone.
On your podcast.
Pod shit. Cause we don't know how to back down. See, I mean, I like Snow.
I like. This is not Factor 7.
I personally like Drewster 7.
That's pretty much funny. The story about Tractor 7, for those of you who can't see the chat.
Good. Yeah, this is a good song to talk about.
We were at a show we were playing with this in this fairly rural part of the world. And, one of the guys, I think he might have like worked there as a roadie or something.
Yeah.
He asked us what our band name was, and he said Factor 7. And he said, so it's Factor like Tractor? Like that was his frame of reference.
Right on.
There's probably more to that story. I'm not very good with those things.
But anyways, this is the first song. It's Called Out in the Dark. So second song I want to do is the title track, that being Fallen Empires. Pretty good stuff. I mean, Soul Patrol, they're safe. It's a band that is always going to have a pretty good album. It's not going to blow
your
mind.
Are you talking about Soul Patrol, Taylor Hicks' band?
Snow Patrol.
I mean, Taylor Hicks is awesome.
I'm talking about Soul Pilot.
Soul Coffee.
Satellite Soul?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and his name was Nacho, the tractor guy. That was also good.
Was his last name Libre?
Could have been.
No.
Cheese.
I don't know his last name, so I'm going to assume it was Libre.
That's the assumption that you must make.
Is this a Gregorian chant?
It is. You can sort of feel that.
EA. What's that?
From they were really popular, those Gregorians.
I know the
they
first
were
two
really,
syllables.
Really, really popular, like in the 90s.
They, yeah, like
that,
the
that
1490s?
CD was like number one for weeks, and yeah. I don't understand why. I mean,
it
just,
well, it was a thing.
In the,
was
in,
like,
the 1090s, there was no one to compete with.
I mean, it's better than this.
Do you remember Enigma? They were very similar to Enigma.
Oh, I've got Enigma on here, too.
Do you?
Yeah.
They were very. Enigma did some of the songs on one of the Jack Ryan movies. I think Patriot Games, maybe? I don't know. I can't really remember that. So, anyways, the last song, which is actually my favorite, is going to be In the End. Appropriately, the last song. But, and appropriately, because it's 2012. And according to the Mayans.
That's right. This is it.
This is In the End. We're
welcome to year last.
It's the price, I guess.
This is actually their most recent single. Came out in February.
This strikes me as sort of like early 2000s. Like it's almost a throwback. It's retro.
And that's what Snow Patrol never changes their sound. They're always consistent with their sound. But if you like the sound, then you're gonna like it pretty much every album they do.
Until they die.
We put these childish things away. Have we lost the magic that we once had? In the end.
There we go.
In the end.
All right. So, anyways, we got Snow Patrol, a safe album. If you like the previous five albums of Snow Patrol, I guarantee you'll like the sixth album
because it's the same. Because
it's the same. There is no, there is nothing going on.
They've done nothing novel here to throw you off your. Jive.
The only interesting thing about Snow Patrol is the lead singer's name is Gary Lightbody. So that's the only.
Is he an Indian?
No, he's from Britain. From Wee Britain.
are you finished?
Yeah, no,
well,
I'm done.
Then allow me.
But I do want to mention, please go to thedeucecast.com, click through to Amazon if you like what you heard. If you didn't like what you heard, buy some other stuff that way. So well, helps us out.
But click
if
you're finished with the Music Minute,
I am.
Me to retort.
It doesn't call for a retort, but
of course
you can
it calls
play
for
your
a
music.
Retort.
You can play your music, but it doesn't call for a retort.
See, this is the Snow Patrol song that everybody knows. Mm. This is the Chasing Cars.
This has become like the music show and tell, the music exchange.
Exchange, exactly.
It's like, let me hook mine up and play some.
My wife really likes this song.
Counting Blue Cars.
Oh, no, I mean, that's
Counting
the thing.
Crows.
They have had some very successful songs. Is that Dishwalla?
Yeah, Dishwalla.
This is Counting Blue Cars.
Tell me all your thoughts on
God. It was like the song of 1994.
Here it goes. You ready?
Four? I don't know. He said, tell me
all your thoughts on God. Yeah, that is a classic. It is very classic.
But I want to say it was 95.
Really
I think it was 95 or 96. Because I was friends with a girl named Shelby. And she didn't like the tell me all your thoughts on God line. And
she was offended by it,
kind of disorder. So she'd ask me to turn it whenever it came on, and she didn't.
Sort of like that. If God were one of us,
something like that.
A lot
yeah.
of people
yeah.
were offended. Joan Osborne. A lot of people.
And because
I was just offended by her in general.
Because she requested Enigma.
I was offended by Jewel.
Yes.
Just because
was,
she was Jewel.
I was offended by Jewel's teeth. I wasn't really offended by Jewel herself.
I was offended by her yodeling.
You mean Renee Zellweger?
Yeah, exactly.
Same person.
It is the same person.
This would be Enigma.
Yeah. This I had all these Enigma albums. They were classic, man. That and Enya. If you wanted to like put some incense on and just, you know,
and
zone
hang out with your chick from Arizona,
and hang out with Sean Sharp. Just put some. Remember he had incense in his room.
I remember.
Remember he did some.
I remember.
Of that?
And peppermints.
Yes.
Lots of peppermints. Is that like on the side table?
Incense and peppermints. You've heard that song.
That's a good song. I've got that song
on your
money
on the
too.
Table as you leave.
Come on now.
No? Okay, sorry. Sorry about that.
Inappropriate.
And my final retort.
We need to bring back inappropriate just for this cast. Because it's
No.
Just
here's
for the
what
chat.
We always used to use at the Deuce. Above reproach. You have to remain above reproach.
And a sad tuba. Hey.
And touch and
agree. Just for
touch and agree. Touch and agree.
Touch and agree.
What is this crap?
Hey! Hey! Well, I don't know what this is. I'm waiting for the guitar to kick in, personally.
I think I may have just lost Brad's phone call later.
Tractor. It's Factor Like Tractor.
I think this song is called
His name
called
was Nacho.
Minded or something. All right. Anyway.
Is that what you got?
That's my musical retort.
That was good. No, I appreciate the retort. Drew, I believe it is your turn. Why don't you continue this madness with Smorg? You said you had some type of matrix.
Speaking of madness, I almost
or
had
metrics or whatever you call it.
I almost had to go completely out of the realm of this show and talk about basketball March Madness for the Smorg. But I'm gonna press on because I think we've got
I don't know any. Although I've heard Murray State, everybody.
Murray State.
That's what you need to go with.
But I need you guys to back me up with stuff that you actually know about. So.
Word.
So anyway, for those of you who didn't catch the last Smorg, what, 3 weeks ago or whenever?
Yeah, something like that.
Actually,
if you want, Tommy can just replay that entire last Smorg segment. Last time.
No,
can we do
no,
that?
Not,
yeah,
no,
let's play the whole
no,
thing.
No,
and then
no,
we'll just
no. Absolutely not.
Yes. Basically, it was about trying to quantify what we like in movies. Because
okay.
I'm a financial analyst. I'm a finance guy. I'm a numbers guy. And I think it's interesting.
Oh, happy Pi Day, by the way.
Happy Pi Day.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah.
I figured you'd like that.
And
you celebrate it.
So we talked about, since we always talk about movies on this show.
Right.
How can we quantify what we like in movies?
Okay.
And it wasn't as boring as it sounds, but.
No, no, no.
I don't think. but you know, there's things we like about movies. Like,
well, anytime you use the word quantify, I usually check
out.
Yeah,
that was not. Yeah. I need to find words that are more.
Small words that I will understand.
One's
because
monosyllabic.
Quantify, yeah, quantifies.
By the way, monosyllabic is a pretty long word for what it means.
Right.
But anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, like acting, plot. I don't know. Some people, cinematography. Throw me out some other stuff. Just any quality of a movie can have that you really like.
Well, I mean, emotion. How you feel? Do you want to see it again? I think.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this last.
Well,
time.
Rewatchability.
Right. Rewatchability.
Rewatchability.
Huge.
We talked about a lot of factors, and
yes.
So
seven of them.
I believe
yes.
We talked about seven of them.
So this week I want to take just acting.
Okay.
And I want to get
just
you guys
acting.
Like I want a lot of participation here.
Yeah,
but
no.
What,
I'm good.
What? Let's think about some of our favorite performances and.
Dave, do you mind
if
I take this first?
No, please.
Oh, go ahead if you got something.
Yeah. I mean, someone that I know will always put a superb performance in, and I have enjoyed all his movies. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, Bill the Butcher, you know the My Left Foot. What else has he been in? There Will Be Blood, Drink It Up.
Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah, Last of the Mohicans.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really pumped about his Abraham Lincoln coming out. And so, yeah, any movie this guy does. And I think the key word here that you can use is method actors. Method actors get way into their craft to the point where, for example, Mr. Daniel Day-Lewis, rumor has it from his most recent
set
that he would not respond to you if you did not call him Abraham.
Nice.
So, I mean,
yeah, some
you know,
get,
they just get or, so into their craft.
Is that like when Will Smith gained 50 pounds to be Muhammad Ali?
Well,
or is that not the same thing?
Well, method acting is more
and then
you get so into the role that
you don't want to
stay in character.
Yeah, that's what
you don't
I hear about.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good example, but, you know, these guys that won't come out of character.
Right. So, yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis would be one for me. Dave, do you got...
Well, as far as acting performances, I mean, there's almost different levels for me. It depends on the movie. Tom Hanks in Philadelphia, I think, great performance.
Well, and I think you could say Tom Hanks in general.
Well, Tom Hanks in general, but
except for Joe versus the Volcano.
But I'm all for being specific about performances here, because here,
okay.
Can I cut you off?
Oh, please.
And then you feel free to finish that thought. But what I'm thinking about for this is differentiating between like what is a really good performance and a really good just character. Because,
right.
You know, sometimes I thought of a lot of them where I guess the Terminator is a good example since I just saw that
right.
For the first time ever. But like Arnold Schwarzenegger's role in that, you could have had any big foreign guy play.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It's not...
Dolph
right.
Lundgren could have done
yet,
just as good
right.
as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Exactly. Yeah. Yet, it's like epic.
Iconic.
You know? It's,
right. Yeah.
It's iconic. Mm-hmm. And that's yep. kind of the thing to me is like... And that's a terrible example because there's not much acting involved. But there are other roles, I think, that a lot of people could play them. And then there's roles where they just took it to the next level.
Right.
Right.
So...
Dave, finish your thought,
yeah.
And I've got another one.
Well, talking about Philadelphia, of course, Tom Hanks is, I think, a phenomenal role in that, especially as the movie progresses, as he is getting worse and worse with this condition. But I think one performance that is overlooked in that, because everybody looks at Tom Hanks, is Denzel Washington, because he is
right.
really kind of the star of the show. He's the one playing the lawyer, the kind of the uptight lawyer who's scared of AIDS and he didn't know what to do and whatever, a great performance. And that's one of those Oscar-winning kind of films. On the flip side, you take a movie like The American President, a movie that didn't win any awards, a movie that, you know, a lot of it's considered a chick flick. It's one of my favorite films. I love Annette Bening in that movie. Her
character,
Sidney Ellen Wade, is one of my favorite characters because she just, to me, she glows on the screen. I mean, just she just emanates just beauty and awesomeness and stature on the screen. Love that performance. In terms of, you know, being in terms of characters, one thing that immediately comes to mind is the Fantastic Four movies that have come out. Three of the four completely miscast. Ian Griffith completely miscast.
Right.
Jessica
there's
Alba.
Four of them?
There's four characters.
Fantastic.
The characters.
Michael Chiklis is the thing. Worked. He was in all the makeup.
That overall worked.
But Jessica Alba, one of the most horribly miscast characters I have ever seen in my life as Sue Storm.
Yeah, I totally agree.
She didn't do that bad in terms of her performance. It's just she should not have been there.
When you're talking about like people that have done a lot with a little, like I was trying to think of some roles. I really liked. Did y'all see 12 Monkeys?
I did.
I really like Brad Pitt's role in that. Yeah. Like, because a lot of people could have done that role, you know, play a crazy person, and it would have gone a lot of ways. But like he just brought the perfect thing.
Very good example of that.
Yeah.
Would be Tom Cruise in Magnolia. He brought a lot to a little.
He got the creepy thing going for him.
That was a very creepy role for him.
He was a creeper in that movie.
Another actor that, and I know you want to go specific performances, so I'll go specific performances here, that I've been following for a while is Clive Owen. Clive Owen always seems to put in a good performance. Some of his best are Closer. I love everything that he did in that movie. And everyone, and I love Children of Men. He was really,
good.
Inside Man, really, really good.
That was a great movie.
Now, Inside Man, top 35 film.
A movie that some people could give or take. I mean, they could just throw it out. That some people would definitely hate. That he did a lot with a role that could have been really boring.
Kiss of the Spider Woman.
Shoot 'em Up.
Oh yeah.
If you've ever seen Shoot 'em Up, it's a balls to the wall action flick, basically. But he just played it so over the top that it actually made the movie better. And it's not necessarily the best movie in the role, but his role and the way he played that character made it even better. So, anything pretty much that Clive Owen is in. And Sin City, I really liked his character in Sin City also.
Dave, you have any examples of actual specific performances where they either took it to the next level or just did a lot with a little? I'm even gonna say Indiana Jones. Can you imagine those movies without Harrison Ford? It's just some other guy.
Well, it's
as
because
Indiana
that's
Jones?
What you've been seeing as you all your life is Harrison Ford in those roles.
But
and
I
so
think
you
his...
can't imagine anybody else. But you know when they first came out, I'm sure, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm sure that role was offered to a few other people, or other people possibly were considered for that role as well. I know Han Solo. That role was also looked at for other people as well, from what I understand.
And yeah, so, probably.
You know, and it's one of those, we cannot imagine anybody else but Harrison Ford being in that role. But in 1977, there was no Han Solo until it was created.
Right.
So. Here's a good one. Since you just saw Midnight in Paris, which you have to see, Michael, because we both...
I'll watch it eventually.
We both loved it. But Hemingway.
He's
awesome.
Absolutely.
But would
Who
you say...
Him? Who played him?
It's a guy named Corey Stoll, I believe. He's
interesting.
Yeah, no name. Okay. But anyway, I would say he did a great job, but that role was just amazing. Like, he had a pretty easy job.
It was quick.
I feel like anybody could have done that. He just took it to the next level. But, I mean, some roles are harder than others, I think.
Right.
Yeah, another person that always brings a lot to the table with roles that could end up being really stupid is The Rock. The Rock really... any movie that this guy is in, he is just...
I want to see G.I. Joe, the new one.
Yeah, just for him being in it. I mean, because you know he's going to turn in a good performance.
He took Fast Five to the next level. And I know that sounds so cheesy to say.
Well, no,
it's such a cheeseball movie.
It's true.
What about Daddy Daycare? Wasn't he in that?
No, that was
Eddie Murphy.
That was Eddie Murphy. Yeah. He was in a daycare.
He was in some
kind of he's been in some kids movie. It was in The Tooth Fairy.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, you know. But I'm not talking about that.
I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a film of those where he really did.
Thinking about, stupid kid movies, too, Cuba Gooding Jr. and Jerry Maguire, he wasn't in that movie all that much.
Right.
He really wasn't. He brought it. Whether you say he should have won the Oscar or not, he won the Oscar for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, just over the top with everything he did in that movie. It was a great, great role. I mean, he was Rod Tidwell in that. It was great.
Yeah.
That's kind of through thinking about all this, what it's all come down to for me is when they can basically take a role to the next level, a good role, or bring out a role that really shouldn't be all that into this kind of iconic
making
thing.
Making it their own.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there are roles like Hemingway in that movie that are really cool, mm-hmm. but then they just, you know, you can just step it up. But and I don't really know how to describe that. But I think of that. I think of Brad Pitt in 12 Monkeys, and I just think, you know, that just made a great role better.
Well, I mean, acting performances for me, like I said, that depends on the movie itself. I mean,
I
love Ocean's 11, and I love the fact they're all, you can tell they're all having a ball in this movie. They're just having a great time making this movie.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see George Clooney having that kind of fun in a movie like The Descendants or in a movie like Ides of March, which was a great film. But he should not be this goofy kind of fun laid back character. He should not be Danny Ocean in Ides of March. So
right,
I'm like my expectations for Clooney is completely different in Ides of March than it is for Ocean's 11.
No doubt,
both great performances, both a lot of fun, but you know they're different levels. I mean, completely okay. different levels.
And I've got the perfect actual movie for this like chat that we're having here, True Romance. Now the reason that movie is perfect for this situation. There's lots of little vignettes that there are some of the...
Is that Tarantino?
He wrote the script.
Yeah. Okay.
There's lots of vignettes in this that the perfect over-the-top acting occurs. You've got one specific scene with Brad Pitt. He plays a character called Floyd, and he does pot out of a honeybee, like one of those little honey bear things, and just perfect, like... Over the top, just great performance. Then you've got Gary Oldman, Oscar nominee.
Oh, wow.
Gary Oldman plays a pimp, and he doesn't even look like himself. But the performance is so over the top, it is perfect. And then also,
it looks a little bit like Captain Jack Sparrow.
A specific scene with Dennis Hopper and Christopher Walken. If you know the scene that I'm talking about, I really, because of the nature of the scene, I probably shouldn't talk about right. specifics of what goes on in the scene, but it is the best scene on film that I have ever seen. It is amazing. So,
we can't tell you what it is.
And I'm glad you mentioned Jack Sparrow because Jack Sparrow. That is a great example
of
somebody taking a role and making it completely his own.
Oh, yeah.
Because when Gore Verbinski and Johnny Depp went to Disney and said, this is what we want to do, Disney said, oh, no way. We're not making him effeminate. We're not doing that with the dreadlocks. We're not, you know, they wanted to be like the R-matey with the eye patch or whatever. And Johnny Depp actually came in and said, okay, I want gold teeth. I want to walk like this. I want to do this. I mean, dreadlocks and tattoos or whatever. And he negotiated with Disney. Okay, I'll give you back 2 gold teeth. You give me this. We won't cut the nose off, but I get this instead. I mean, they negotiated with him completely to make him that role. And now it's an iconic role.
Right.
He took that and he blew it away, making it his own. You know, he's a fine actor.
And then some other classics. I mean, obviously you've got Michael Madsen in Reservoir Dogs. The whole dancing around the guy about to cut his ear off scene in Reservoir. I mean, there's classic.
With Steelers wheel stuck in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, Tarantino is so good about bringing the best out in some has-been actors.
And that's another thing, you know, I thought about is like acting and directing, where does one start and then the other stop? You know, like maybe Tarantino is just saying, hey, do this, or redoing it until they get it right. Maybe sometime the actor is adding more.
Right. I mean, I just think that he is able to create such a good environment on set and give these actors a chance that were washed up at the time of filming.
Yeah.
To just, like, you know, everybody says he's the one that brought Travolta back, which, I mean, in a way is true. I mean, that role did bring him back. And then, you know, he's done it with several other actors, not necessarily bringing their career back per se, but just giving them that one last great role.
Pam Grier. Forrest Frederickson.
Jackie Brown. Yeah, and then you've got... I can't remember it off the top of my head, but
you got David Carradine and Kill
Carradine,
Bill.
Carradine is the one I was thinking of in Kill Bill.
Kurt Russell came
which
back,
ended and, up yeah. being Carradine's last great performance. I mean that, you know, after he killed himself basically in a sex act. But anyways, but yeah,
took
I mean,
breath away.
yeah, exactly.
And I think a lot of it comes down to believability. I mean, you know, you want to watch a role that you can believe in, that you can believe that actor. And yes, you know that's Tom Hanks, or you know that's Tom Cruise, or Clooney, or Meg Ryan, or whoever you're watching. But at the same time, you can suspend your disbelief enough to involve yourself into that character. And really,
right.
You know, you've got Mail, my favorite movie. Yes, I'm watching Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan making their third film of the 90s. At the same time, I fully believe that is Joe Fox and Kathleen Kennedy. Fully believe it. I fully believe their relationship because it's a fun.
And what's most impressive is when they can do a role that's so off the wall. And I go back to 12 Monkeys,
right?
And make you believe that because that's incredible. That's hard.
Well, I think that's the problem with Brad Pitt. I think he's been maybe not recently, but at the beginning of his career because he's such a pretty looking guy. I think
not in that movie.
I think he had a lot of trouble making people believe he was a good actor. He's a good actor. He's a great actor. Seven was great.
I agree.
Yeah. You know, he was great in Thelma and Louise, great in 12 Monkeys. He was great in Fight Club. I mean, he is a really, really good actor, but he gets this shtick about him because, you know, he's good looking. And so, you know, poor guy.
Yeah, I feel sorry for
Brad Pitt.
Well, and he was great in Snatch also. I mean, that was one of my favorite roles of his was in that as well, that Guy Ritchie movie where he played the boxer. He just made himself look completely beat the hell up, basically, in that movie.
That was good.
But anyways, Dave and I could seriously go on
Absolutely.
And on about this.
Yeah,
so.
Well, thanks for participating. That's basically all I had for the Smorg, but
nice.
That's good stuff to talk about and good food for thought.
So do you have the topic for the next Smorg when you come around so we actually can be thinking about it?
No, I was flying off by the seat of our pants. It actually creates better conversation.
Here's the seat of my pants. It's flying.
Exactly.
Okay, then I won't tell you.
From movies to books.
Right.
We're going to talk about our big three. And our big three this week, we wanted to kind of break away from the movie topics that we keep going on and on about. Not that they're not great, because they are. But I want to talk about books. Now, I know that Mikey doesn't read.
Much.
He usually has lots of pictures. But I do
it's
know that we all have grown up reading at some point. And we wanted to talk about books that were important to us when we were children. Not necessarily, you know, Dr. Seuss, Redfish, Bluefish books or whatever, and although it could be that. I mean, not necessarily preschool books or books that were read to us, but books that we grew up with that were important to us that we read over and over that maybe all these years later, some of my books I have not read in 25 years and I still remember just about everything about them because I read them so much when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So we're going to let Michael kick off with number three.
Okay, my number three in Indian in the Cupboard. I read the crap out of that book. I read it.
Now,
so
how old
times.
Were you? Because
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
unless we read it in school, I don't think I was reading books.
Indian in the Cupboard. I was probably in like middle school, I guess. I don't know.
About right.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what year that book came out.
Have y'all seen that movie?
Well, yeah, I've seen the movie, and it doesn't do any justice whatsoever.
Kid,
yeah,
that kid is so ugly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just loved the concept of the book, the boy having this cover, the Indian and all the cowboy and all these other characters coming to life just by placing them in the cupboard. I just liked the whole concept of it, and that was one of my favorites, my third favorite book of all time when
Excellent.
I was a lad.
Drew.
All right, so I went a little different here. I decided to the first three books I could remember because we did a lot of things where, you know, our parents would read books to us when we were kids, and, you know, a lot of them were Dr. Seuss, and there were some other ones, but, I mean, there were some that we would literally memorize.
Yeah,
And, I mean, like, when I was probably 3 years old. I mean, you know, before I could even read, I was memorizing Dr. Seuss books. So I got to say, not The Cat in the Hat, but The Cat in the Hat Comes Back.
Ooh, the sequel.
Yeah.
The squeakquel.
Oh, it was big. It was big. It was,
now, is it The Cat in the Hat Comes Back? Or
it
the
was
Cat
two,
in the Hat Returns? Or
huh?
Is it Cat in the Hat Returns? Or
I think
it
comes back.
Okay.
I don't know. We can look it up. But I was trying to remember the first line. It was too wet to play. They couldn't go outside. It was too hot. It was something. They couldn't go outside. It was... Anyway, great.
We get the point. We got
great
it.
Story.
We got it. We got it.
But it's all about them playing, and they have thing one and thing two, and it's, I don't know, it's a classic.
Nice. Very nice.
That is a classic.
Number three for me, and I don't know where I picked this book up, but I loved it when I was a kid. I loved the concept of a vampire rabbit, and that is Binocula, the Rabbit of Mystery.
You've
never heard of Binocula?
Binocula.
Binocula. You've never heard of Binocula?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Where did you grow
up? Oh my gosh. Binocula was
Samson,
awesome.
Alabama.
There's
they had one book in the library.
There's
and it was Binocula.
They've checked it out every week.
No, I own the entire set actually. The Binocula was the first one.
There's a Binocula set?
The second book was called Howliday Inn. The third was called Celery Stalks at Midnight, Nighty Nightmare, Return to Holiday Inn, Binocula Strikes Again, and the final book in the series was Binocula Meets Edgar Allan Poe. Okay?
Oh my God.
Now, the concept was this rabbit shows up in this little cage at this house.
Okay.
And there's a note on it like this from this Russian that says, please take care of my baby. I cannot take care of it. Whatever. And so you got the cat named Chester and the dog named Monroe who right. are suspicious of this rabbit because like fruit and vegetables keep ended up like turning white because they're being drained of their fluids, you know? And they're suspicious that wow. Binocula may be like a sinister kind of rabbit. Oh. It's a great series. And the problem is... And I can't believe you never heard of Binocula.
No, I'm sorry. Wow. I can't believe I've never...
B-U-N-N-I-C-U-L-A. Binocula.
I've never even heard of it.
Oh, my gosh. You're breaking my heart.
It sounds like the Raving Rabbits.
So,
the Weekend.
So, anyway, I had
It sounded
college,
like a... I was thinking Binocula when he said... Is it Binocula? It's a bunny. Bun... But
like Dracula
like
and Bunny Binocula.
You run it together. Yeah.
There it is. Binocula wow. strikes again.
Binocula.
With the red eyes. Look at that. Red eyes on the rabbit.
It does exist.
Yes. the sad part about this is I owned all the books, the entire series. And they weren't first editions or whatever, but they had a lot of them. And bye, Chelsea. And so so the girl I was dating in college, her name was Melanie. She wanted to borrow them. And so I let her borrow them. And we broke up. I didn't get them back. She moved away.
Are you still talking about Binocula?
Yeah. Okay. I lost my entire Binocula series. So okay. one day, sometime last year, I ended up buying like four of the books at Second and Charles for like $10 or whatever. But I'm definitely letting Campbell read Binocula. It's an awesome series. Can't believe you've never heard this. So anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you probably haven't heard of my second one either. It's called Redwall.
State?
It's the first of a long series by the author Brian Jacques. And it's animals also. There's like a they're all mice. And there's these, evil weasels that come and try and attack the abbey that they all live in. Redwall is the name of the abbey. That's where they get
Redwall.
The book. But I loved all these as a kid also. Very long series. Very epic type series. Had cues from stuff like Lord of the Rings, and it just had that type of vibe. There's a lot of magic going on in it, and
it was the Harry Potter of your generation.
It was epic battles and stuff like that. But yeah, Redwall, if you want to look it up, it's good stuff.
All right,
number two for you, Drew.
So number two was one of these. It was another children's book that was a compilation of stories, just little short stories, mm-hmm. and I think
Blackula.
What? No, I don't
okay,
know.
Okay.
It was the Richard Scarry story.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, very much so.
And I think our favorite
That's still around.
It
by
is.
By the way. Good. Oh yeah, there's a cartoon now.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
Some things never change.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was one of the best ones was The Musicians of Brennan.
Yes.
Bremen, I think.
Which now that
the
is
The Bremertown Musicians.
Yeah, that's
good stuff.
A fable, is that what you call that?
They were all little sort of nurse.
Yeah, they were
I mean,
like
they
fables.
Weren't rhymes, but they were
that's
like little
That's from Aesop's Fables, I think. The Brem originally. Not it wasn't didn't originate okay. at Richard Scarry.
Okay.
No, it
I'll
it,
buy
it,
that.
You know, I really think
they were very folklore type little
yeah.
stories
yeah.
and you know. But I yeah, we just love those and I'm not exactly sure what I loved about it so much. But
no, I loved that also because I think there was some type of cartoon also
yeah.
that came out with that story that I loved also. But
awesome.
Yeah.
Very nice. My number two, and I discovered this book when I was about 10 years old, and I absolutely loved it by an author named Stephen Maines, and the book is called The Obnoxious Jerks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's this group of high school guys who they're in a club they call the Obnoxious Jerks, and they're really a whole lot of fun. I mean, and the whole club is thrown sideways when a girl wants to join their group named Leslie, and Frank, who is the main character, kind of likes Leslie a little bit. They're friends,
yeah.
And one of the other guys doesn't like her, and so you know, you know, it's just a fun story. It's
yeah.
a whole lot of fun, and I'm really surprised this has never been made into a movie. I thought it would be a fantastic movie, and I often thought it would be great if I ever decided to make a film. I would make The Obnoxious Jerks, and 10 years ago, I would have gotten David Mark Osborne to be in this movie because he would have been great. Now, not so much. He's probably too old for the part.
I believe that might be our first DMO reference. Could be.
Oh, wow. Anyway.
It could be.
But not the last.
Number two, Obnoxious Jerks by Stephen Maines. I finally got another hardback copy of it. I ended up going to a bookstore and ordering a library copy of it.
Wow.
For like $10. So I've got like the plastic book cover on it, you know. But I own it. So there you go.
Excellent. Well, my number one is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Interesting.
That was by far my favorite book. I read it first, I believe, in like middle school. It's been out there for a long time. I mean, that's one, you know, with movies, we're talking rewatchability. That particular book has re-readability. Re-readability. That one I could pick up today and read that. I mean, it's one that never gets old. There's a series of them. The ones after it aren't that great, but Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the original one, you can pick it up and enjoy it at any time. And the movie does a good job if you're just a person that doesn't care to read and wants to watch movies, more sort of like myself.
Doesn't it have Omar Epps in it?
No, it's Mos Def.
That's what I said.
But
it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, by far. I can't remember when it was originally published. Do we have that information on hand by chance? No? Okay. So, Drew, what's your number one? I think it was like in the early 80s it was originally published, but I really can't recall off the top of my head. But
do we do honorable mentions, or are we doing after?
After, okay. Yeah.
So number one, yeah. Drum roll, gotta be the Brer Rabbit stories.
All of
them. Loved them. Had a lot of those close to memorized. I mean, we would read those all the time.
Yeah.
By the Fire was the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
It was good stuff. Obviously,
now you're talking about Song of the South, Brer Rabbit, right?
Oh, it was very, yeah.
Uncle Remus. Yeah.
Uncle Remus stories. That's actually what the book was called.
We've got the book.
The Brer Rabbit and the Tar Baby is the one that everybody knows. Yeah. But there's so many awesome stories about.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous stuff going on, but animals in the woods.
I loved it too. Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
Just an awesome children's book.
Dave, drum roll.
So back in the day when I was a kid, my parents actually owned not owned, but they managed an apartment building. And so, you know, we made some pretty good money. So about every 6 or 8 weeks or whatever, we'd have this little form that would come out, and you could order books from the Weekly Reader. And so
I remember the Weekly Reader.
The Weekly Reader, and you can order some books from it. And so my parents would always let me pick 2 or 3 books to order, you know, every time it came out. So one book I ordered one day was a book called A Dog Called Kitty by Bill Wallace from 1983. I read this book, and it's about a kid who who was attacked by a dog when he was a kid, and when he was younger, and so he's got a fear of dogs. It's a horrible fear of dogs.
All right.
And this little stray cocker spaniel comes up, and you know, he ends up calling Kitty. Don't ask me why, I can't remember. But there it is right there. It's not really a cocker spaniel, terrier or whatever. And they form this friendship, and there's this climactic scene towards the end where you know, some vicious like wolves are running after him, and Kitty saves him, and it's such a great book. I read that book so many times when I was a kid. That book, I would say, probably shaped my childhood because
A Dog Named Kitty.
It was wonderful. Bill Wallace actually wrote several other books as well, but Dog Called Kitty, fantastic.
Awesome. Did you want to go ahead and do your honorable mentions?
Yeah, I'll do my honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Dim. I loved it.
Loved it.
Rats
yep.
Dim.
That was great stuff.
That was good stuff.
Great movie. That cartoon was fantastic.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Bluth.
Back before cartoons had to be like, you know, politically correct and safe. How to Eat Fried Worms by Thomas Rockwell. Tales of Fourth Grade Nothing and the whole Tales of Fourth Grade Nothing Super Fudge series by Judy Blume.
Yeah.
Dear Mr. Henshaw by Beverly Cleary. I did like the writing style of that book, the whole diary thing. And finally, that was a book that came out in 84, and I bought it from a book fair, actually, called Barry the Great St. Bernard. And I was in fourth grade when this came out. And
I remember that.
For whatever reason, I decided that I was going to have myself a St. Bernard named Barry.
Yeah.
And so I had this pretend St. Bernard that nobody could see but me and my friends. And it got to the point where all my friends acknowledged the fact that Barry was there, and they would play with him just like I would. Yeah, I mean, like, I convinced other people to see my dog, Barry. And unfortunately, in the book, he dies. So that doesn't help me out having
a real dog. Spoiler alert.
Oh, you're going to read the book, sure.
Golly.
But anyway,
at least you didn't call him Kitty.
That's true.
You weren't too confused.
But I would
sit there
during story time, and I would pet the dog. And other people would pet the dog as well. It was great. So there we go.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be a true fan if I didn't mention the Star Wars lovingly called the Thrawn Trilogy. That would be Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and The Last Command. Those are where you need to start. If you are a Star Wars fan and you're wanting to try and get into the novels, you got to read those. Love it. Then Mouse and the Motorcycle. I loved Mouse and the Motorcycle was great. And then there was this about a 3-year period where I was really into fantasy novels, like D&D type stuff, and the Dragonlance Chronicles. Those I was all about the Dragonlance Chronicles, and it was very D&D. All of it was just Nerd City, basically. But yeah, anyways,
Dragon's Lair,
Dragonlance Chronicles specifically.
And when he says 3-year period, he's actually just ending that period now.
I am. That period just ended last week. But anyways, Drew, what did you have?
Honorable mentions. Let's see, The Fox and the Hound. That was a really good.
I didn't know it was ever a book.
It was a book.
I had no idea.
Really?
It was a book.
I just watched the movie.
Yeah, I just watched the movie. Yeah.
Of course, you've never heard of Binocula, so I guess it's tit for tat.
I guess it was an
audiobook.
I don't
think anybody has heard of Binocula.
Did y'all have audiobooks as kids?
It was called Mall.
Like a record.
like a tape.
I had albums.
Through the pictures. Yeah. So maybe that was after the movie.
I had the Star Wars audio.
That was a good one.
Records. Every time R2-D2 beeps, you turn the page.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything else I had was Dr. Seuss. Like Hop on Pop was a big one. I know I had that memorized before I could read. And,
yeah.
You know, all the other ones, One Fish, Two Fish,
Red Fish, Blue Fish.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, Binocula won awards. It won the Scholastic Award like the 1981. So back off. Okay.
I also enjoyed
Binocula.
Binocula. Binocula.
We have to mention the Shel Silverstein books. All of the Shel Silverstein books were great. Like the
I've never read a single one of them.
Oh, they're all really really good. All those are.
It
really
is the
really
one
good.
That wrote The Tree Grows. In
yeah,
Brooklyn
there's that one, and then there's a bunch of other ones that are good. They're all really good.
Shel Silverstein.
Where the Sidewalk Ends. Thank you, Stephanie.
That's a great song by George Strait, featured in the movie Pure Country.
Is that really the title of the song?
Yeah.
Where the Sidewalk Ends.
When the Sidewalk Ends and the Road Begins.
That just ruined it.
Is that the one with Gwyneth Paltrow?
No, that's Country Strong.
That's Country Strong.
George Strait is starring with Leslie Ann Warren and a very young Kyle Chandler. In Pure Country, one of my 150 favorite films of all time. True guilty pleasure.
Interesting.
Because the acting is just terrible. You want to talk about performances? The acting is so bad in this movie.
There's not a single good performance turned in.
No, there's not.
No, it's
not.
But the story itself is fun, and it's light, and it's enjoyable. And so, you know, bad acting, but you overlook it because George Strait's not an actor, so you just
you're just having fun.
Exactly. It's like Black Dog. Well, no, Black Dog, great acting, but
all right,
True Beverly Hills.
Let's do this roundtable thing. Do we want to do the Brad thing first?
We always kick roundtable off with Star Wars news first.
Okay, well, we'll do some Star Wars news, so everybody drink.
Let's get interested.
So here we go.
Hardy Boys.
It's
completely
just
forgot about the Hardy Boys.
Yeah. We all know about that. Nancy Drew. Yeah.
When the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew were solving mysteries together, loved it.
Yeah. Or I mean, come on, guys. What about the Choose Your Own Adventures novels?
Well, those are fun too.
Yeah, I mean, those were classic.
But it really got me jaded though, because like Joe Hardy was dating a chick. First of all, her name was Iona. Don't ask me where that name comes from. But when they redid the Hardy Boys like new series, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, the New Adventures of the Hardy Boys, Iona dies in the first book due to a car explosion.
Right.
I was like,
spoiler alert.
Wow. You know, anyways.
Okay, so the Star Wars news, I'll make it quick this time. It's more of just... It's more of just something sad that we're not going to be able to attend the Star Wars convention this year.
The funniest thing I've ever heard Brett say.
We did not get approved, surprise, for the media passes. So we will not be going to the Star Wars convention this year. And I just heard today that James Arnold Taylor, is going to be one of the hosts of it. So I'm really disappointed.
The middle child and Home Improvement. That's awesome.
No, he's one of the voice actors on the Clone Wars.
So we're now Battlestar Galactica fans or whatever.
Yes, that's what I'm going for. Because I can't say Star Trek, so we're now BSG fans. So, no, Tommy, that is not what I mean. I am controversy.
He no longer supports the live action series.
So much for not addressing the chat.
Exactly. So how, what are we doing? Are we doing the Drew thing now?
Let's do the Drew thing now.
Okay, so Drew,
the
this
Brad
is your
thing?
Cue.
I'm Drew, guys.
Yeah. what is in this stuff? I really think it's the chemicals.
They're coming through.
I really think it's the chemicals.
Michael's been sitting here quite a while.
All right. Brad, please call in to the number. What's the number? For him to call in
6269 fun.
Fun, yeah. 6205.
Really? Yeah.
6269.
That's a fun number.
Fun. We're gonna try this. This is our Politico.
We've never
talk.
Had a never, call in on the show before.
This we've is, never been able to successfully do this. Tommy, you may want to type it in. He could have it on mute. So yeah. Anyways. So okay. He's not
this
calling
good,
in.
This makes a good cast.
Oh, here we go. Here he comes.
Eureka. All right. So we're gonna leave it here. I'm just leave it there. Hello, Brad. You are live on the cast.
Are y'all paying for this call?
Are you going to bill us?
You messaging could, and data rate swap.
You could totally write this off, dude. I like the music, Dave.
You like the music? Yeah, it's good.
I don't even know if Brad can. Brad
I don't know if he can
that.
Hear us over the music.
We're playing the, what's the name
Law
of the
Law & Order.
Law & Order yeah. soundtrack.
Brad, thanks for being here. We just wanted you to listen to this song, I guess.
It's also the nicknames like for Chuck Norris's left and right fist.
Law & Order. I like it. Or his left and right nut.
I like it.
That too.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so what are we talking about here? Michael, you wanted Brad to call, and you sent me an email earlier today, something about trespassers and we'll be shot or something.
Yeah,
like
I just
that.
Wanted
Go.
Some commentary. I just wanted some commentary from Brad, just because I know he follows politics probably more than the three of us combined.
Probably, yeah.
And I just wanted his commentary on this whole trespass.
Well, he's got to be doing something while he's billing people at $300 an hour. I mean,
So, I mean, Brad, what's your take on this whole thing?
Well, I mean, first of all, let's set this up, okay, as to what this
Go
is.
Ahead.
Okay. So, and this is just reading from the news story. This is not my take on anything. This
and
is
Brad,
a,
after Dave sets it up, you can reset it up because
well, yeah, I'm reading what the report says.
Okay.
President Obama signed into law H.R. 347, the Federal Restricted Buildings. I'm sorry. This is whatever
this
Michael
is a no spin zone.
This is
no
whatever Michael zone. Sent me. This is whatever Michael sent me. The no, Federal Restricted false. Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act of 2011, which makes it a federal crime to enter or remain knowingly in any restricted area of the White House, the VP's office, official residence, or their respective grounds without lawful authority. And reading this report, apparently it says due to what happened to Representative Gifford last year in Arizona, where she was shot by somebody who shouldn't have been there. It's kind of to protect officials, to protect the lawmakers, the presidents, the congressmen, blah blah blah, and the former former presidents and senators and whatever.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's the reason that it's even a big deal.
Controversial.
It's really annoying. Because a ton of people out there are like, oh, this is the first step. No more free speech
it's
ever.
It's a slippery slope.
It's a slippery, yeah. I mean, so I just wanted Brad's take on it because I know he is an educated man that can comment on this. So, sir, please.
Okay, here's my take. And I didn't even know about this until Mike told me this morning. And then I had
neither
to do
did
a
I.
Research. And by research, I mean looking it up on the internet. So, essentially, what happened was, unfortunately for David Dollar, this is not an Obama thing.
No last names.
This bill was proposed by the House of Representatives, which has a Republican majority, and it passed the House of Representatives 338-3. One of the three, obviously, was Ron Paul. If that makes anybody surprised.
Nobody's surprised. No one is surprised.
So not the most controversial piece of legislation ever passed.
No, not by any means.
So essentially this started with a Republican majority voting 338-3. The Senate passed it unanimously, and then it got to Obama, who signed it into law. So that's the first, you know, kind of preliminary, is that this was introduced as a Republican sponsored bill, and this is not Obama like taking away rights and stuff like that. So,
exactly.
Just to get up, and the bill was introduced by a Republican senator from Florida and co-signed by a Democrat senator from Connecticut. So it's a bipartisan thing. Essentially what it is it says that it codifies into law, it amends a law that was already in the books. What it does is it says that now if you trespass on the federal property or if you trespass into some area where there's protected people, protected by the Secret Service, then instead of, and you do that in Washington, D.C., it elevates it from a Washington, D.C. crime to a federal crime. That was not on the books before for whatever reason, and it's essentially sort of closing a loophole. It's making it a federal offense basically to trespass on federal ground. The way one of the co-sponsors of the bills put it was, he said, prior to this bill, you could jump over the fence of the White House, run across the White House lawn, and try to break into the White House. And in Washington, D.C., that would be considered a municipal offense. This elevates it into making it a federal offense. Most people in Congress consider that to be a reasonable thing to do. So I don't think that it infringes on any First Amendment, you know, free speech zones or anything kind of crazy like that. From my limited research, it seems like a reasonably okay thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, what a lot of the crazies on the interweb are stating is that it's taking away an individual's right to assemble and protest, basically. Because if they're doing that,
like slowly chipping away at the fabrics of our free country or whatever.
The thing is that
that's actually the healthcare bill.
Okay, we're not getting into that.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to let you and Brad talk about that.
No, we're not. So, I mean, basically what it is people are saying that, you know, why can we not get in a group and protest? I mean, we're going to have to do that near the government official or the building that the government official is in. So is it now going to be a federal offense for us to assemble and protest is what the concern is.
The controversy and the reason why everybody's kind of blowing up about it is it changes the standard a little bit. Prior to this bill, you could be prosecuted if you protested or congregated or trespassed. And it was knowingly. So if you knew that it was like Gabrielle Giffords, if the Secret Service was involved, it was federal property in Washington, D.C., if you knew what you were doing, then obviously you could be prosecuted under it. This bill sort of changes it from knowingly to without you even knowing that you're doing it. It's a little bit kind of stupid. I mean, you know what you're doing if you do it in D.C. If you're somewhere, for example, last week I went to the Rick Santorum rally in Pelham. Just so I can make fun of it, basically, there were Secret Service agents there. He's under Secret Service, you know, protection right now. If I had protested there and I guess caused a disturbance, whether I knew he was there or not, I could have been prosecuted under this law. Before, I would have to know what I was doing. So I don't know how you can really prove that. I don't really see the controversy. But that's what people are kind of freaking out about.
I would venture to say that if a Secret Service agent approached you and took you into custody is when you needed to be worried. I mean, they obviously thought if there was a ruckus happening and they get involved, then there's probably a federal issue versus if a local authorities get involved. If local authorities get involved, perhaps it's not a federal issue. They can just handle it locally here in the state. But if the Secret Service agent gets involved, that's when you probably are going to be falling under this act that passed.
That's true. And also, and I didn't know this until I was reading about it, anything like this that happened in the D.C. municipality was not considered a federal offense. It was under the D.C. municipal laws, just the same as if you got a traffic ticket in D.C. This kind of made if you do it in D.C. like you did it anywhere else, that kind of brought it under the umbrella of a federal offense.
So on a global scale, it's sort of like Vatican City.
Without the Pope.
Exactly.
And the Pope Mobile.
Well, some would say Obama is our Pope. So.
Oh, wow. Wow. Here we go.
No, that was Pope.
No comment.
That was what?
Pope,
H-O-P-E. Oh, okay,
Pope and change.
Okay, I got you.
Love it.
Well, Brad, I appreciate you taking the time to call in. Little did you know that you have just officially started the Lawyer Up with Latta segment.
Right.
Awesome.
I roped you in.
Did we introduce Brad or say anything about
him? No, I played Law and Order. That's all he needs.
Yeah, it's
me. Oh, okay.
I roped him in under false pretenses, so... Lawyer Up with Latta is now official.
So does Brad not want to hear my take on the entire thing?
No, you go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
One of the One of the things I love about Obama here is that I know that he automatically assumed when I read this that I was gonna be like, Obama signed it. This bill sucks. we're all going to a communist nation. It's Red China over here. Honestly, I have no problem with this bill whatsoever.
That's your stump speech, though, isn't it? That's pretty
exactly.
much.
Exactly. I have a lot of problems with our current president, but this bill is not really necessarily one of them. The problem, I think, that happens with, and this happens on both sides of the aisle, and this is just me speaking my opinion. When a Republican majority puts forth a bill, or when a Democratic majority puts forth a bill, sponsored by whatever party, I feel like that the other side always likes to come up with the absolute worst case scenario that this bill is going to entail, and that's kind of how they push the opposition to the bill, going, okay, if this bill passes, this is going to happen. And it happens with both sides. And so that's kind of what happens, I think, here. I can see, just again, I'm like you, the only thing I've even known about this is reading this article, doing a little research on the internet. I could see where in an extreme case where maybe this could be a problem, but really, I mean, it's for protection, and I think doing stuff like this should be a federal crime. I mean, if you hop the fence of the White House, that should be a federal crime, because you know what? You're an idiot. You can't unknowingly hop the fence of the White House.
I don't know.
It's not like you hop the fence of the White House going, I didn't know that was the White House fence. My bad.
I mean, if you're on a lot of drugs, you can unknowingly do some things.
And one of the things in here, one of the worst case scenarios it mentions, it's, you know, a person eating at a diner when a candidate is trying to talk politics could be arrested if the agents determine he's acting disorderly. I mean, if you're eating in a diner and you're laughing up with your buddies or whatever, and Secret Service comes in, I have a feeling you're going to pipe down. And if you don't, well, then you need to be spoken to.
So, like, if a president were to come in and said, "Can I have some of that hamburger?"
You know,
we know that happened
it.
A lot.
Exactly.
That was my really bad Clinton impersonation.
Hey, sir, what's your wife's name?
What was that, Brad?
Yeah, and I think that's fair. The main problem anybody has with it is not. It's more of a slippery slope argument that now we're headed towards fascism and that whole thing. And the two scenarios that I've read that people are concerned about is if you're protesting and you outside of a building, for example, and you don't, for whatever reason, and you don't know that someone in there is under Secret Service protection. I don't know how that would happen, but in my example from last week, if I just decided to go to the Pelham Civic Complex and start protesting something, I didn't know Rick Santorum was in there with Secret Service protection, I could be prosecuted under this law. Whereas before, I could not have because I didn't know that. That's the first main controversy people have. The second one is that people feel like presidents are going to start using this, and they're going to start putting delegates with Secret Service protection in places where they don't want protesting. So if there's a campaign rally, if there's a summit, and they don't want to deal with the protest, they can put Secret Service people there and send Hillary Clinton or somebody there, and then that removes all the people's ability to protest. So those are the two kind of slippery slope, you know, more like we can see this going badly rather than this is the worst thing ever. You know, whether those scenarios are actually going to happen, I don't know, but people are just sort of dreaming up, you know, worst case scenarios.
As they will.
Well, I mean, both sides of the aisle will dream up worst case scenarios for anything presented, truly. I mean, and I would like to think that if you're outside protesting, you know, at the Santorum rally, not knowing he's inside, the Secret Service would come out and say, "Okay, guys, you guys need to disperse because you know this needs. You guys need to get lost." I don't think they're going to come out and start shooting people because you didn't know he was in there. I mean, that's you know. I don't think they
would shoot anybody. They might tase them.
I don't know. They could be tasing.
In the real world, I don't think this is going to be terribly enforced. I think any halfway decent lawyer is going to be able to get somebody out of it.
I call Brad
the Secret Service.
Or Tim wasn't.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right. Okay. let's wrap it up again, Brad. We appreciate it. You're welcome back on the show anytime. We have a political question or a legal question.
We
would hope that you would be willing to come back on anytime, and we do appreciate it.
Absolutely. That just cost you $300.
All right, Brad. Have a good night, man.
Our first edition of Lawyer Up with Latta.
Yeah.
Well, that went well.
That was fun.
Brad is currently sitting at home right now, completely stunned that I actually kind of agreed with him. He doesn't know what to do. He's hitting the bottle very hard, and he's wondering if he's asking his wife to pinch him because he might be dreaming.
Well, I mean, the only way we can go from there is some movie news.
Absolutely.
Just to bring the tone back down.
That's more political than we've ever
yeah,
had.
The Dark Tower is back on. So, Dave, I know you potentially be excited about that. I mean,
if I ever read it, yes.
It seems like Warner Brothers is stepping in, and they're going to fund the potential HBO series. So that there's a thought that there's going to be, because HBO is owned by Time Warner, which, you know, Warner Brothers movies, blah, blah, blah. The second thing, which I'm extremely excited about this, is Machete 2 officially starts filming in April. So that's Danny Trejo, for any of you people not in the know.
Are they calling it Machete 2 or Machete Kills?
Well, Machete Kills is filming in April. But then, in the same interview, Robert Rodriguez also announced that finally in June, Sin City 2 will start filming. So that's another thing. And then this is more...
Sin County.
This next piece of news is more for the Deuce roommate that you have never heard from and probably never will. That would be Mr. Tom. TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, a live-action CGI mix coming in 2013 to theaters near you. Christmas 2013.
One year after the end of the world.
One year after the end of the world, exactly. So that is our brief movie and / TV news.
A little bit of TV news here for me, actually. Excellent. American Idol, because...
I wondered if you were going to mention this.
At broadcast time, when we're doing our broadcast excellence here, American Idol actually will have already broadcasted. It's already over for the evening. So when you're actually hearing this first thing Friday morning, because we know that you have gotten up at 5 in the morning to download this as quick as possible, you know, this will have already happened. So me even saying this news, you're probably going, oh, yeah, I already heard about that. But Jermaine Jones, Big Daddy Jermaine, big black dude with a deep voice that sings like this, sounds like Luther, kicking off.
Impressions.
Supposed to be kicked off American Idol. The producers learned that he concealed the fact that he was arrested twice last year and has outstanding warrants. Also, that some of the incidents involved violence, which was particularly troublesome to producers. He also lied to the cops by giving them fake names both times he was arrested. And that he's been telling producers his father abandoned him 10 years ago, but lo and behold, the dad called TMZ, the TMZ website, and called BS on the Sun, saying that they actually see each other all the time.
Wow.
So Jermaine started tweeting out that he'd never told the producers that he said that about his dad, that his dad abandoned him. And the producers, who knew that Jermaine had said this, got suspicious. They started investigating, and they found that he had been hiding all this stuff.
Wow.
So as expected, they were supposed to kick him off the show. Again, I don't know that for a fact.
If he has outstanding warrants, why aren't they just taking him straight from the stage to jail?
Maybe.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Well, I'm interested to watch the show because it says the cameras confronted him on Tuesday afternoon. So, I mean, he could be like in the hotel room practicing his song, and here comes the cameras of the cops, and... You know, suddenly, well, it is Fox, and so suddenly an episode of Cops. It's
or like Chris, or Chris Hansen.
It's a Cops
That'd
American Idol crossover. That'd be awesome.
That would be great.
to catch an idol.
There you go.
So, Reflections, Drew, did you happen to recall what you saw this week?
I don't know if it was this week. Well, actually, one of them was, but a couple weeks ago, I saw The Help, finally.
Sorry? I don't know what to tell.
I thought it was good.
No, I'm sure.
It wasn't my new favorite movie, and it's not, I don't think, the quintessential piece on the civil rights era by any means.
No.
I think it was more of a narrative type look at that, and it brought out some stuff I hadn't really thought about.
Right, right.
But this week I actually saw a real classic, Taxi Driver.
Oh, nice.
Which was a disturbing movie, maybe more than I was expecting.
Yeah.
And,
You talking to me?
You talking,
to me?
You talking to me?
I like that scene.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would say I liked it. I guess it's just one of those.
A very young Jodie Foster in that movie, right?
13 years old.
Yeah, 13 years
old. Was she 13?
Yeah, 13.
She looked older than 13.
Well, it's because she was playing a prostitute.
Yeah, they had to make her up.
That's sad. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was kind of depressing. But
Travis Bickle.
Yeah.
But I saw it, you know, one classic in the books.
That's good. Done. That's good. You're doing better than I am in the classic realm. I mean, I do like the films of the 70s, but I have not.
I got to say, I don't know that I've ever seen a Scorsese film that I've really enjoyed.
Really?
I mean, it's mostly just like...
The Departed? You didn't like that?
I did like The Departed.
What about Goodfellas?
Oh, well, we could start naming stuff, and he'd be, oh, yeah, I did like that. No, we better not do that.
No,
we
I
won't
mean,
try and spoil your point there.
But when I saw The Departed a second time, I just felt like it was like, oh, well, this is kind of just...
Yeah. On a side note, if you are looking into watching films from the 70s, There is a great documentary called A Decade Under the Influence. Actually, Ted Demme's final film. He co-directed that before he passed away. And yeah, I recommend that. A Decade Under the Influence. It just talks about the fact that that particular decade was the most influential decade as far as film is concerned, and sort of shaped people like Tarantino, because, you know, he was born in the 60s, probably grew up in the 70s. So a lot of our filmmakers today had their influence from all those filmmakers in the 70s. Some of those movies in the 70s are phenomenal. That's the one decade that I will break my rule and watch films
from
before
you
was
were born.
In the 70s, basically.
Yeah, I would say if you're going to see Scorsese and you want to look, Goodfellas and Cape Fear are two great, great films.
I will watch Goodfellas because it's on my list of classics to see at some point.
And I think
Casino.
I did not like Casino. It was another
like
one
Casino?
Of those.
Casino was okay. I think it was a retread.
I like Joe Pesci or whoever it was in that. I mean, that was good, but...
Yeah.
But that's just a, I don't know.
We have to say it. Last Temptation of Christ.
That was his maybe most acclaimed of all of them.
Not acclaimed. Controversial, maybe. Okay. But you know what? Willem Dafoe's performance in that movie, you have to give it props. Even though the subject matter of the movie may not be something that you would can
I
get
liked
behind.
Him as the Green Goblin.
Not his best work, but whatever. Oh, well. I mean, whatever you...
I like him as the bad guy in Speed 2 Cruise Control.
What's the Weird Al lyric about him? And he's wearing that dumb Power Rangers mask, but he's scarier without it on.
Good Willem stuff. Dafoe is a scary-looking man.
Yeah, he's creepy.
Well, I mean, as far as my reflections are concerned, again, and I'm doing really poorly, I did not have time to watch a movie. I mean, I went and saw a concert instead this week, basically. I am keeping up with Awake. I watched the second episode.
Awake.
Phenomenal. That show does keep getting better and better. And then I'm moving forward somewhat begrudgingly with Doctor Who. I'm enjoying it, but overall, I don't know what to say. I don't know. It's an okay series. I like the David Tennant Doctor Who that I am currently in the midst of so far. So you have to be a real sci-fi nerd to enjoy Doctor Who. It takes sci-fi to different levels that, you know, our version of Doctor Who, that being maybe like Star Trek or whatever, does not even go to. So it's very sci-fi. So you sort of have to be in that. That's pretty much it. What about you, Dave?
Well, I actually did not see a complete... I did see a complete film. I watched Last Man Standing with Bruce Willis. Not that great. I mean, it was the Prohibition movie.
Interesting thing about that is it's directed by Walter Hill, I believe.
Right,
and he is directing Bullet to the Head, I believe. Stallone's... was supposed to be Stallone's next movie, but it's in having some post-production issues. So it looks like Expendables 2 will come out first. Right. But, Bullet to the Head.
Walter Hill also did 48 Hours.
Yeah, he has directed some classics. But, yeah, and there are a lot of people that like Last Man Standing.
It was okay. I mean, I was surprised Leslie Mann was in it, and I love me some Leslie Mann.
That was very early for her.
Yeah, I don't even think she'd married Judd Apatow at that time.
No.
It was okay. I have watched half of Event Horizon. Not
great
because I
movie.
Like it, but
great
because
movie.
I haven't had a chance to finish it yet.
Freaky movie. Don't watch
it
alone.
I've got a 3-month-old that keeps me up. Got the number of movies that is in my DVR to watch is just staggering.
Yeah, I'm the same
California
way.
Is a movie I've got in my DVR to watch.
With a K.
With a K, yes. Mm-hmm. The Natural, on my list of movies I should have seen. I've got in there to watch. I've got this movies to rewatch that I haven't seen. I still have to watch the last 4 hours of The Stand. I haven't finished that yet.
Wow.
There, it's piled up.
Didn't you say you saw Midnight in Paris this week?
Midnight in Paris, last week.
Oh, that was last week.
Was it last? I think I talked about it last week.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
I think you just talked about
it. I think you just, this is
but
the
I
first.
Know, but I mean, I think I talked, no, I know I talked
you
about
reflect
it last week.
You reflected last week?
I did. I
really?
Reflected last week, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thanks for listening. So
I did listen.
I was on the chat. I don't remember you saying
I mentioned
that.
It this week because Drew was here.
Oh, okay.
And so, but I did talk about it because it was on my notes from last week, my episode 45 notes. So
awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah. So there you go.
Excellent. Great reflections.
Absolutely. So that's going to be the Deucecast episode 46, To Podcast a Mockingbird. Great movie, by the way. Great film.
These are getting better. I like
Don't forget to go to iTunes and download our Deucecast app. It's absolutely free. You can listen to the previous shows. Have a good time with our shows. Go to the website, www.thedeucecast.com. Find us on Stitcher and on Ustream. Like us on Facebook. And, you know, when you go to iTunes to download the app, also give us a great review. Give us 5 stars. Tell everybody how much you love us. Hey, and tell us about your favorite co-host. Is it Drew? Is it Hurricane Red? Is it Dr. Earl? Is it Brooke, who may never come back? Is it Mikey's sister, Stephanie? Should we get her back in here? What about the Wookiee? Tell us who your favorite co-host is. Maybe we'll even give him a permanent job.
I like the one they call Mikey.
There you go. 6269-FUN. That's 6269386. You call us, and we'll play it for you on the air. And that's info@thedeucecast.com. And if you just thought to yourself, oh, my gosh, that is a whole lot of information, just rewind this podcast a little bit, hear me talk about all of it again, and write it down. Pause as you need to. So there you go. So that's going to be our show. Next week, that's more music, more movies, more fun. We're going to be talking. Was it Dr. Earl maybe coming in the studio?
Possibly. We'll
possibly.
See.
Possibly. Yep. Mm-hmm. Next week's Big Three, and I thought about this, and I'm going to set this up real quick for you, Mikey. Next week's Big Three, if you, as your present self, could go back in time and tell your old self, your younger self,
okay,
you need to go to this event. I don't care what you do, but you need to go to this event.
Interesting.
And make your younger self go do it. What would it be?
That'll be our Big Three.
That's our Big Three.
Interesting.
Three events.
Our lifetimes.
That you wish you could
can't
go see.
Can't be the moon landing.
No.
Okay,
that you
so
wish
in our
you
lifetimes.
Could, like, thing wow. you could feasibly get to that you wish you could go see, knowing that you wouldn't know what was going on. You know.
Wow.
A little complicated there, but that's our Big Three. should be some great little life stories. Anyway, that's all going to be on the Deucecast episode 47, the podcast of Arabia. Saying goodnight. Thank you very much for Drew being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you to Brad Latta, bradjlatta.com, for all your lawyering needs. Don't go to Bender & Bender. Go to bradjlatta.com. That's where it's at right there.
New representation
exactly.
here.
Exactly. All your pottery paint needs, paintedbyyou.com as well. That's one of our other sponsors. And don't forget audibletrial.com/deuce, D-E-U-C-E. Thank you, Tommy, for all the hard work you do. My name is Dave, saying bye-bye, and
this is Mike, and you've just taken your weekly Druce.